You know, every time we gather together to worship, we should expect no less than the Word of God, the Bible. And that's why we're here this morning, to learn and to equip ourselves to a greater degree of how we can serve God and how we can be faithful to Him. And we're so glad that you've joined us this morning for our worship time. And we hope that you'll come again whenever you have the opportunity to be with us. You know, there's so many people in our world today that are so oblivious of truth. What is truth? I hope you'll open your Bible with us this morning as we study together from the pages of God's Word. And you'll be prepared to read the Scripture as they are here on the screen or reference those in your own Bible. And it may be from a different translation, but the message is still the same. There are many people today in our world who say, I'm not accountable for truth because I didn't know it. That seems to be the big cop-out with a lot of people today. I didn't know truth, so I'm not really amenable to it. God isn't going to hold me in contempt if I disobey it if I didn't know it. Quite often people ask the question, what about people in foreign countries that have never had the opportunity to learn the truth or know the truth? Are they still amenable for the truth? Absolutely. Are we still accountable even if we don't open the Bible to learn it and search its pages for truth? We are accountable. Why, if you could really make some kind of parallel to it, even in our land today, we have laws that govern our society. We have a what we call a sacred document in one way, that is the Constitution of the United States of America. And that Constitution guarantees us a right to peace, to live honorably in the world in which we live. And along with that Constitution, we have various rights that are granted by that document to American citizens and to no one else. Illegals who come into this country are not guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States to certain things, but they are amenable and accountable to the laws of that Constitution. We have certain state laws. We have certain municipal laws here in Palestine. And whether you know that law or not, you are still responsible for obeying it. If I'm driving down the highway and there is a certain speed limit sign, then I can tell you I am accountable for that law. And if you don't obey that law, you're going to have a state trooper. And by the way, that's not Gary Briley or Gary Todd. This man is a nice-looking gentleman. But if perchance you're driving down the highway and you disobey a traffic law, then you're accountable for it. If you're not wearing your seatbelt, then I can tell you, you're going to get a ticket. You know, just recently we've had that, what is it, ticket. Heard about the woman one time who backed out of her driveway one morning and she was going down the highway. And a highway patrolman noticed that she did not have her seatbelt on. He pulled her over immediately, and he looked at her, and he said, "Ma'am, do you know why I stopped you?" And she said, "I have no idea, officer." Well, before he got to the car, she realized that she had not fastened that seatbelt. She grabbed it real quick and fastened it before he got up to the window. And when he asked that question, "Do you know why I stopped you?" She said, "I have no idea at all. I wasn't speeding." He says, "No, ma'am, you weren't." And she said, "Well, why did you stop me?" And he says, "Well, because you didn't have your seatbelt on." And she reached up there and she pulled it and she said, "Officer, I want you to know I had my seatbelt on. That is the first thing I do before I leave my home in the morning and get out on the road." He says, "Ma'am, I distinctly know that you did not have your seatbelt on." And she again reiterated, "Officer, I have my seatbelt on. I always put it on before I leave my house in the morning." And he looked down at her and he said, "Well, tell me something. Do you always loop it through the steering wheel?" Be sure your sin will find you out. And if we disobey the law, whether you knew it or not, you are still accountable to that law. People disobey the laws out of ignorance. Ignorance is no excuse of the law. It isn't. Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory, continued to fight in that war of 1812. 5 years after the war was over, because he had not gotten the message that the war was ended. Old Hickory, we call, by the way, he's the man who appears on the $20 bill. Hopefully you put all of yours in the collection plate this morning. It is amazing how we can know what is going on thousands of miles away. We don't even know sometimes what's going on in our own country. But isn't it amazing that we can know what is going on around the world through modern technology and through satellite communication? We have satellites up in space there that are beaming messages back to our country even as we speak right now. But in spite of technology, ignorance continues to grow. It does. At an alarming rate, ignorance is growing in America. It is. And many people are trying to justify their ignorance by saying, hey, I'm not accountable. I didn't know it. Ignorance is no excuse. Did you know the Bible says at one time in the book of Acts 17, when Paul had gone to Athens, when he saw what was going on there, he looked at him and said, in the times of ignorance, God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. You know, we are so ignorant, believe it or not, many of us, and it is true, some of us cannot even name the states in the United States of America. How many of you can do that, by the way? Now, I'm not saying you're stupid. I just said you were ignorant. You were without knowledge, and that's what that word means, okay? Many of us cannot even name the states in what we call the United States of America. If you were given a test, could you do that? Well, a lot of people don't even know who the president is and the vice president. I like to watch Jay Leno at night sometimes. And Jay, what he calls jaywalking, you know, when he's out on the street and he's asking all those people questions about what's going on in America and what's going on in life, and he asks questions about who's the president and who's the vice president, and then some people have the foggiest about what is going on in our world. It's amazing, isn't it? Why are we falling behind in education? We talk about the third world countries, and there are many of them. And they're so far advanced above us sometimes in technology and what we call education than we are. Why are we falling behind in education? Do you realize that we have fallen to number 20, educationally speaking? What's happening in our public schools? What's happening in America? Have we become lazy and indolent and uncaring? It is certainly true, biblically speaking. It is true. How many of you can name the books of the Bible? You don't have to raise your hand. Now, you might be able to sing it, but can you name them? I asked a fellow that one time, and he started singing. I said, no, don't sing it, say them. How many of you can tell someone, if they were to ask you, how many books there are in the Old Testament and how many there are in the New Testament? How many of you can name the apostles of Jesus Christ? And some of us, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Some of us have been members of the body of Christ and claim to be Christians and followers of our Savior for years. And that's very, very elementary. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about ignorance. First of all, what is ignorance anyway? You know, we throw that word around a lot. A lot of people say of certain people, well, they're just ignoramuses, or they're just ignorant. Ignorance is the want and the absence or destitution of knowledge. It is the state of mind which has not been given to instruction or one that had not been informed of the facts. Ignorance may be general or limited to particular subjects. Emma Goldman made this statement that the most violent element in society is that of ignorance. Now, I would tell you freely that there are two kinds of ignorance this morning. Two kinds. There is what we call unintentional ignorance. That is, you thought you were right when you found out you were wrong. You believe certain things to be okay biblically, and then you've learned later at some point that you didn't know. You're driving down the highway. You didn't see the speed limit sign, but it was there. But you were speeding, and you were violating that law. And the patrolman pulls you over, and he gives you a ticket. That's what we call unintentional. You didn't see it, but you're still accountable for it. Do you realize that if a person dies without ever accepting Jesus Christ, there is no hope for that person to ever go to heaven, and he will be lost unintentionally? But then there's another kind of ignorance, and that is intentional ignorance. That is, you decide and you determine in your heart and in your mind that you are not going to learn. It's like kids. You know, you send them off to school. You hope they're there to learn. A lot of them aren't. They're there to waste the teacher's time. They're there to waste your time. Kids go off to college sometimes. They flunk out in the first semester because they weren't prepared to learn. Had no interest in learning. That's intentional. And when a person has the availability of the Bible, the Word of God, or the opportunity to hear the truth, and he does not take advantage of that opportunity, and he loses his soul in hell, it is what we call intentional ignorance. Well, what does the Bible really say about ignorance? It has a lot to say, by the way, and I quoted a passage a moment ago found in the book of Acts 17 and verse 20, when the Bible says, in the times of ignorance God winked at, 70 verse 30, in the times of ignorance God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God commands us to repent. Now, whether you know it or not, you're still accountable to obey it. Does God expect me to repent if I don't know it? Absolutely. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, the Bible says, seeing it is a righteous thing that God for God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Didn't know it? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Does that sound like God means business? Does that sound to you like God is saying, if you don't obey me and if you reject my truth, then you are responsible anyway? Absolutely does. Folks, let me ask you a question. If we can all be saved because we didn't know it, why don't we just fold the Bibles up and go home and let's just go to the judgment in ignorance? Hoping that God is going to save us because he isn't. And that's why he told the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be condemned. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 3 deals with the subject of ignorance. Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Listen to it. They were without knowledge. They had a zeal, wanted to do it. I mean, they were out there praising God, but they weren't worshiping God in the way that he asked to be worshiped. He says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's what's wrong with much of our world today. Many of our world today are not in ignorance unintentionally. Many of them are in ignorance because of intentional determination that I'm going to do it my way instead of God's way. Hosea chapter 4, that little book in the Old Testament, one of the great prophets of God, wrote these words. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Could it be that God has a controversy with the inhabitants of our country today because of what's happened here? He says, because there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will forget thy children. Listen to what God says. Because you have rejected me and because you rejected my knowledge, God says, I will reject you. Well, now what happens if we choose ignorance? And a lot of people do choose it. What happens if I choose to be ignorant? Many, many people do. You can preach to them all day long till you're blue in the face, and they still choose to be ignorant of God's will. If we choose ignorance, there is a price that we will pay. Now, whether you believe that or not, every act of disobedience carries with it the consequences that go along with it. There is a price that we will pay, and the price is not right. As a matter of fact, the price is wrong. Ignorance is not bliss, contrary to what a lot of folks think. Ignorance is poverty. It is devastation. It is tragedy. It is illness. Ignorance stems from all ignorance. Someone said to another man one time who was so ignorant of the Word of God, he said, if ignorance is bliss, you must be in paradise. But despite what you've been told, ignorance is not bliss. We have a lot of people that like to stretch the truth. A lot of people do that. They want to make the truth say something it doesn't say. They stretch it to the point that you don't even know sometimes what truth is. People stretch the truth. And it's wrong. It is wrong. If you think education is expensive, then try ignorance. Do you realize that ignorance results in poverty? It does. And it is a weapon of mass destruction. You know, we talk about weapons of mass destruction being nuclear weapons. Poverty is one of the biggest weapons of mass destruction this world has ever seen. Christ witnessed it. He noticed it. He observed it. And people live in poverty because they are without education. An educated, civilized people who know what is right and what is wrong don't live in poverty. I know people say today, well, there are a lot of people without jobs in America. No, there are a lot of people without positions in America. We keep talking about the people, our neighbors to the south, who keep coming over into America. And you know what they're doing? They're taking jobs that the American people will not take. not positions, jobs. We have become lazy in this country. And we don't like to admit truth. We don't. Truth is truth. It's absolute. People can't change the truth. But truth can change people. And you know what? In this church, we still believe in preaching truth. The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No ifs, no ands, and no buts. No deviation, no amelioration, just truth. Just truth. Makes people mad sometimes. Paul said in Galatians 4:16, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Sometimes people don't like truth because it exposes what we are. People don't like truth because that means that my way of doing things might be wrong. The state of Texas has what they commonly call the star test. My two daughters are familiar with it, and others in this congregation who teach public school are familiar with it and aware of it. The star stands for the state of Texas assessment of academic readiness. And it seems as though our teachers work all year long trying to prep their kids and young people to take that test. It's not a matter of whether or not we're really educating you and training you and teaching you and what you need to know. You've just got to cram to be able to pass that test so we can get good results at our school, so we can become an exemplary school. State legislature, I think, is working on this and trying to amend it and change it, and I hope to God they do. Because I think there's some things in public school we ought to be teaching our children that we're not teaching our children. But I know one thing. To fail the STAR test in Texas public education is one thing. But to fail the Bright and Morning Star test is a failure of grave proportion. Because you see, Jesus said, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." John 18, verse 37. We must seek the truth, because the truth is absolute. Some are in search of truth. Some are searching for truth today. And we believe in preaching that truth that is absolute. We don't sugarcoat the truth. We just preach truth. For those who sugarcoat the truth, it's no longer truth. It is no longer truth. Sometimes churches will sugarcoat it for numbers' sake. Oh, just think, if we could sugarcoat it, we could get all the numbers. We could fill the building. No doubt you would. But we don't sugarcoat it here. The reason is because God's Word stands on its own. And God's word is true. Amen. The Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." His word is truth. For when we add or erase any part of the Bible, it is no longer truth. but it's false doctrine. For in the book of Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19, John says that we're not to add to the Word of God, nor are we to take away from the Word of God. For if we were to add to the Word of God or to take away, the Bible says, God shall add the plagues that are written in the book to our life, and our name will be taken out of the Lamb's book of life and out of the holy city. That's why we don't deviate from truth. That's why we still preach truth. When it comes to worship and how we worship, it is why we preach the truth on the church, the oneness of the body of Christ. It is why we preach the truth concerning one's salvation and why we still believe that a person is baptized for the remission of his sins and for no other reason. Baptism is your faith in action. It is. It isn't your faith that saves you, but your act of obedience unto God. In the Old Testament, when Israel was in Egyptian bondage and God had brought every plague against the Egyptians, he said, I'm going to bring one last plague. And he said, I'm going to tell you what to do to avoid the first of your family dying. Because that last plague was that God was going to destroy the firstborn in every family of the Egyptians. And he said, to ensure that your firstborn does not die, I want you to take the blood of the flock of an animal, and I want you to sprinkle that blood on the doorpost of your house. And he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's where the word Passover came from. And the Israelites understood what God meant. There was no question about it. They understood truth. And they sprinkled that blood over the doorpost, and it was an act of obedience that spared them from the angel of death. Why is it that we have great difficulty understanding truth today? It's not really a problem of understanding it. It is a problem of obeying it. I dare say there's not anyone in this audience this morning that is illiterate. We can know truth. We know right and wrong. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Were you scripturally baptized? Most of us know whether we were or whether we weren't. I would dare say all of us know whether we have been or we haven't been. Do you realize truth says someday you will stand before God? We all will. Every one of us. And when you stand before Him, will you pass the test? Test time. You know, we've been hearing a lot about the Internal Revenue Service over the last few days. You have, I have been. No one, I don't know if anybody likes it. Anybody in here like the IRS? Anybody? Thank you. I didn't realize you were all Christians, but I'm... No one likes the IRS. I told someone time I couldn't hardly wait till I dial that 800 number to the IRS and someone answers and said, this number is a non-working number. We've been hearing a lot about the Internal Revenue Service. Now, we're all amenable to the laws of the tax code in this country, whether you believe it or not, whether you determine to obey it or whether you determine to reject it, it is still true. You are still responsible, though you did not know the tax code. That doesn't negate the fact that many of those in Washington and the IRS are snooping on you, and Big Brother may be watching you text right now when you should be listening to my sermon. But are we still responsible? Yes. Remember Acts 17 and verse 30. And in the times of ignorance, God winked at. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. To repent. I hope the IRS repents of what they're doing. Someone said we need more watchdogs over the U.S. over the U.S. Treasury and less bloodhounds in the IRS. God says we've got to repent. And ignorance is no excuse, folks. You're still accountable. We are accountable. Now, I've tried to impress upon your mind this morning how important truth is and how detestable ignorance is. If you died today, where would you go? The truth is, you're either going to one place or the other. That's truth. Now, you may have some psychiatrist or psychologist tell you that what I'm telling you up here is a bunch of bunk. But I'm telling you it came from God. And whether you want to be intentionally ignorant or whether you want to be unintentionally ignorant, that's your desire. I mean, that's your choice. You go to heaven or hell not by chance, but by choice. By choice. Where will you be and where you will be determined by your response to truth. To truth. What will your response be? I can't say I didn't warn you. And the reason I warn people and the reason I admonish them is because God said to Ezekiel, if you warn the people, then I'll not hold you accountable for their blood. But if you fail to warn the people, I will require their blood at your hand. That's why Paul preached it. That's why Peter declared it. And that's why every one of the apostles died as martyrs for the cause of Jesus Christ. And that's why this preacher continues to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, folks. And if you're subject to an obedience before God this morning, either to commit yourself in baptism, by renouncing your sin and by being immersed in water baptism for the forgiveness of sins, I hope that will be your choice. I hope that'll be your response this morning. And if you're a Christian and you know full well that at one time you walked with God, but you're not walking with God right now. You know that you're not being faithful to the Lord right now. You know that someday what I've told you this morning is true. And if you were to die today, where would you go? Would you have an eternity to live with regret? Or would you have an eternity over which to rejoice? If you'd like to be identified as Christians and to place membership with the congregation here this morning, whatever your need is and whatever we can assist you with, we urge you to come while we stand and while we sing.